This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients.
So, Brie, I remember this one time I was in a bike race around Tucson, and I wasn't paying attention. We were riding down 4th Avenue, and there's railroad tracks, like streetcar tracks, and my bike's tire like went and wedged in to the railroad tracks,
no!
And I totally fell down and just like skinned my hands, everything. Ugh. I had nothing with me, nothing at all. And it's that times where you want a first aid product and you have nothing. And Active Skin Repair utilizes a molecule called hypochlorous acid. When applied to the skin, the molecule works by mimicking the natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. I've used it on my son's mosquito bites, and I wish I would have had it the time I totally scraped up my hands.
Oh, I hear you. Like whenever I go paddleboarding, kayaking, I'm always trying to find something that is like an all-in-one that I can take with me. And Active Skin Repair could be used like that. It can be used to treat cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for all skin types, all parts of the body, like eczema, and acne-prone skin, all of that.
With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the youngest member of the family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all of your family's skin health needs. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and to get 20% off your order. Use code NOGUILT.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by my co-host, Brie Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
And can I just say, oh my gosh,
do we have an interview for you all today?
We were so, so excited when we first heard about this guest. And I love it. I love it. So excited. So it is Tiffany Thiessen, and we both grew up watching her on all the shows. She was on Saved by the Bell, Beverly Hills 90210, White Collar, which I got very into, Alexa and Katie, which makes us cool in our daughter's eyes. We were just looking forward to this interview so, so much. And you're going to hear it. But when we got on with Tiffany, she is the realest, like most genuine, nicest, easiest to talk to person. And she was a complete joy.
Oh, 100%. As a matter of fact, like when she got on, we started talking about so many things. Like a good 10 minutes after, I'm like, guys, I haven't started recording yet. We need to back this up. And we didn't even get any of our back this up conversation into the episode.
No, there was so much to talk about.
So much about. And you guys are so, and I'm going to say, you guys really have me close to moving my cheese on something in this episode.
Yes.
You guys convinced me to try something new, which is not an easy task.
So you need to listen to this interview. A little heads up, when we interview Tiffany, and probably right now when it airs, that SAG-AFTRA strike is still going on. And so we weren't allowed to bring up any projects or any television shows whatsoever. So know that even though we're huge fans and would have loved to talk to her about that, it was just not possible this time. So Tiffany Thiessen, she is an actress, host, and cookbook author. And her newest book, Here We Go Again, Recipes and Inspiration to Level Up Your Leftovers, is available for pre-order right now. So go and check those bookstores and go check out Amazon for that. And she has two kids and lives in California with her family. In this episode, you're going to hear about this crazy thing that Brie is on the edge of doing, and me as well. And Tiffany has also offered to coach us on, by the way.
Which you need a coach for this, I think.
You need a coach for this. As well as how she grew up and how she loved cooking and the biggest person against leftovers in her house. So we hope you enjoy our interview with Tiffany.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Wow. Welcome to the podcast, Tiffany. We have been looking forward to this interview with you for weeks now, and we're so excited it's here.
I'm so excited too. Big fan over here as well. So
I've been getting obsessed with your Instagram reels and stories of all your cooking stuff. And I mean, I even commented on it where you put wine in the hamburger helper dish. And I'm like, you better pour yourself another glass of wine.
Well, did you not see that I literally took a sip before?
Of course I did. Maybe more than a sip.
You've got to make sure the wine is good, right? You have to taste
exactly.
It.
Exactly. All this cooking journey, like I could literally watch cooking shows all the time.
Aren't they soothing? Me too. I'm sort of the same. Like even before I kind of ventured into the food world in my career, I was that person that always had food and cooking shows on in the background. One, because it's family friendly.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's very calming. It's very like, that's how I feel about cookbooks too. Like, it's funny. I buy cookbooks because I love the photography. I love the recipes. I love the stories behind the recipes. And half the time, not all, but I mean, I do love to cook from them too. But a lot of times I love just looking at them and reading them.
Yeah.
And it gives me inspiration to do something possibly different, you know?
Yeah. You learn like all these tricks.
Yeah. It gives me inspiration to hope that one day my dish will look similar. Not the same, but just in the same category as the pictures of those dishes.
You know, looks does not matter. It's how it tastes, right? I've been telling people that for a long time. It doesn't matter.
And I tell my family that a little bit of black char is good for them. It's not that bad.
I agree. Agree. I say that to my kids too, just so you know. I say the same thing to my kids.
That is a joke in my house. I can't not burn anything.
We need to get into that because your new cookbook's all about leftovers. And I have to say, leftovers are a big fight in my house.
Same. Yeah.
Like, well, it was a fight. It was a fight in my house, too. So it's funny that you say that. I think it's very normal for people to kind of put their nose up at leftovers. My husband was that person. He's like, you know, I had it once. I really don't want it again. And I said, you know, there is something to be said about leftovers. Some things are actually better the second and third time around. Thanksgiving is one of them. Pizza is another one. Like, there's lots of things that do really well, if not better, the second time around. And it's funny because also he doesn't understand that it doesn't mean just the, you know, the Mexican food that you had at a restaurant the night before that we're going to make it into something else. Like, it's more than that. My book is really more than that. It's really also based on teaching my children, especially, and my husband too, but really my children and people not to waste. And statistically, it's a scary kind of thing. And I'm just going to go down this road just for a second. 40% from farm to table gets wasted of food. 40% people, like, that's crazy to me. And so I really try to teach my children, like, there's things that we can be really creative about in the sense of like that little bit of potato chips that are at the bottom of the bag. Don't throw it away. Like, it's broken and all that. And you don't want to eat it. And you don't want to dip it into something. I can show you something else to make with it. And that's what this book is about. It's not just the Mexican food or, you know, the leftover pasta that you had at an Italian restaurant or, you know, pasta that you had last night. It's other things like in your pantry and in your fridge, you know, vegetables that are starting to go a little soft. I can show you what to do with them before you waste them.
I love that. I could already think of the potato chips and I'm like, oh, I could put those in cookies. Wouldn't those be good? Potato chip cookies with chocolate chips, like the crunchy and the salt.
I love it. I love your brain.
All of those things.
Have a good brain.
Oh my! I'll think dessert all day long.
Yeah, yeah. And salty and sweet together, like, is the best.
We put, so I got my daughter on this. We have a box of Maldon salt in our pantry, and I will put that stuff on everything. And
I don't even know what that is.
It's just flaky.
It's the flaky salt. Oh, it's the flaky sea salt. It's so good.
Yeah, I've been trying to emulate that at home with like my salt. And I'm like, it doesn't taste the same.
Oh, just like avocado toast. My kids love it on avocado toast or just like, cookies, chocolate, whatever.
You could be a fancy chef. Just put a little of that salt on it. You're
good.
There
you go. Yeah, she's ready. She's really ready.
I loved reading about your story in regards to food and cooking and especially about how you grew up cooking with women in the kitchen. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up with wonderful women, my mother, my grandmother, my aunt. They were all in the kitchen, always cooking together. And it didn't even have to be a holiday, which that was a big to do. And I was just that little girl that always peered around the, you know, the wall looking at these women having so much fun in the kitchen. I, of course, wanted to be with them. So my love really kind of started off as more admiring the kind of fun they were having in the kitchen to then the creativity that they were creating together to then what meals really do for families. And then as I got older, you know, I was traveling all through Europe as a teenager for some popular TV shows that I was on, and really kind of my love of food kind of blossomed even bigger into different cultures and going over to Europe and other places in the States and Southern food and, you know, East Coast and fresh fish and all of that, and how food really is the start, kind of like music, where it really does evoke emotion and it really brings people together. And so my love of food started very, very young, and it just kind of developed, you know, sort of bigger and badder as I got older, you know.
We should take every kid on a tour of the world so that way they can learn to expand their palate.
I'm not kidding you. It's so important. I think there's two things. One was travel. And the other thing, my dad was a landscape architect, so he was always growing food in our backyard. We had chickens, which we do as well. And growing food has also been a huge sort of eye opener for my kids. And I know it was for me as well. Seeing how food and where it comes from and really watching it grow from the ground also was a huge thing for me.
That's awesome. Like, I have to say, like, the travel thing with kids, it's really hard getting kids to try new foods while traveling. Like, we just went to Paris in Germany in June with my kid. And my husband and I were saying to each other, it was so much fun. It was so much fun.
But did they kind of feel like they were sort of in a new place to maybe be more open about trying, or no? Was it
hard? Know what? They did, especially in Germany. And they tried some kind of new to them. Like, in Saxony, Germany, there's this stuff called Maultaschen, which is dumplings. It's like meat-filled dumplings. And initially, my daughter was like, no, nothing new, nothing new.
I'm surprised. I would think she would do it. But
oh no, she's so worried about poisoning. I don't know what, like,
this, oh really?
That's the same thing with
that's
leftovers.
So funny.
Leftovers too.
Really?
She's like, they've gone bad, mom. They're a day old. I'm like, no, they're not. They're not a day old. Like,
they're not.
But it's that kind of just trying to get kids to try things and be adventurous is.
Yeah, to be adventurous. And I think we're also at a time where I think with the pandemic and all that, there's been a lot more, you know, sort of worries and anxieties that, you know, we really didn't have before.
Right.
And so that's something to kind of also listen to, but to also hopefully open up a little bit.
TikTok has opened my daughter. She watches TikTok, and now she'll be like, I want to try this Korean dish. And I'm like, I don't even know where to start with that. Where do I
get
it?
That's great. You know, maybe that's the one positive of social media
it
for
is,
our children.
It is for her.
That's literally... You know, it's so funny. It's the fight that I have with my daughter because she's not allowed to have it. And she will eventually, but she's 13 and she's not. And I said, if you can send me an article that shows me from a respectable doctor or something how important and how good social media is for your brain and your body, then we'll talk about it. And she hasn't found that article yet.
She's found it. I needed you 3 years ago, but that's okay. We've opened Pandora's box. We are there now. My husband and I are like, well, you know what? The one thing we got going for us is that she'll eat whatever she sees on TikTok. It's a start.
That's good. That's a positive. Just I'm not going to share that with my daughter, but that is a positive. Yeah. That is a great positive.
Hey, all. It is Joanne and Bree here. And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe. And it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explains, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP. And it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes. From the creators of the hit kids podcast, Who Smarted, and Netflix's Brainchild, comes the adventurous world of Mysteries About True Histories, affectionately known as Math.
Every episode follows Max and Molly. I gotta say, love the name Max. That's my puppy dog's name. Who have just recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs. It actually makes learning pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, I listened to this with my son, and it was so fun to listen to. I loved how modern it was with a cool aunt that they really dug, and like they dealt with bullies. My son also enjoyed all the math involved. Like, he thought it was really cool.
Well, and I have to say, I love anything that brings learning and fun together for kids. I really, really wish that something like this was around for my teens when they were younger. We would have absolutely devoured this on our car trips. It would have been amazing. It's perfect for kids ages 6 and up, and new episodes drop every Thursday.
So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods.
Yeah, no, one of our frequent guests here at the podcast is Devorah Heitner. And if you haven't checked out her work, it is amazing about mentoring kids through social media. And that's who I look to a lot.
I'm going to have to, because we're in that constant weekly battle of, please, mom, I'm the only one who doesn't have it. I'm left out, mom, you know, like those things constantly.
Oh, the joys
of
teen.
That's the one that we ran into too.
I know how hard it is. I remember how hard it was being a teenager. And there are new difficulties we are living in that we didn't have. And I get that. And I totally, totally get that. I just, again, you know, we're moms, we're parents. We want to protect our kids as much as possible.
But also, I would think for
you, that brain is so fragile.
For you, there's an additional complexity because you're so in the public
eye.
Sure. And then having your child in a social media account, that must be like that's something that we don't have to deal
with. Different level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes, there is. But I still think the things that I can get concerned about the most, because a lot of these can be private and whatever, and a lot of people don't have to see it, is really just the cautious part of it. Like, right? Like, that's
the hard
part.
Of us
I know what it does to me. I know the pressure it does to me. And I'm almost 50 years old. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's crazy. And so to put that on a brain, I mean, there's new studies about how just the short-term stuff is actually causing more kids with ADD and not being able to cope and all these like massive studies. And I'm just like, her brain's still moving and growing and all of that.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I know we'll give in eventually. I know we'll have to, but I'm going to hold out as long
as I can. That's a good idea. And that whole privacy thing is a sham, because here's what my daughter does. She's on Snapchat and she's like, mom.
Yeah, that's what my daughter wants, the Snapchat.
My daughter's like, mom, give me your phone. And she'll take a picture of her phone take a picture of whatever post there is on my phone so she can keep it from somebody else.
That's so funny.
They get around everything.
They get it because they're smart. They're super, super smart.
Super
and
smart.
I get it. And that's and we love that they're smart. But yeah, I know.
So on social media, I've noticed that you're doing something that I'm really kind of interested in, but I'm a little afraid to do. It's the ice bath.
Yes. I don't know. I heard you talking about that on another podcast.
Bro, I'm obsessed. I think if people have been following me, they've been seeing that I've been pretty religious about it since the first of the year. I was always a fan of it. So I give credit to my in-laws. So my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, who are from Houston, Texas, they're my husband's family, who I'm very close to. My sister-in-law is like my best friend. They're in the health world, and my brother-in-law is a trainer, and he's, you know, they're both very health conscious. And so they've been doing plunges for 5 years. This is way before it became like popular mainstream, right? And I give them credit because it really does come from them. And so we used to do it all the time when we go to Texas as a family, and they started this community sort of ice bath on Sundays with their community of friends and neighbors and people my brother-in-law's name is Wooch, he trains. And so we used to always get in on that when if we were, you know, traveling in there at the time. And so I loved it. I know the benefits of it. I learned all about it from them. And so and then they would come here and we would do it here together. And so this last Christmas in December, I got to a very dark place. And I'll be very honest. I threw out my back.
Oh,
I don't know how.
Oh, gosh.
I have no idea how.
Why?
I work out all the time. I'm very healthy. I'm strong, but I threw out my back. And maybe it's just because, I'm going to be 50 soon, right? So I threw out my back and it took me to a place that was very dark. And normally I'm a very positive, uplifted, it's just who I am. And I remember going, what am I going to do? And it really had me understand that my sort of mental state had so much to do with everything that I like, my working out and how I interact with my children and me cooking. I couldn't do any of that. So I went, I was really depressed. And so I was trying everything I could. I was doing the icing, but like, you know, compact icing, heating. I was doing the sort of TENS machine, you know, the like electrodes, you know, I was going to my chiropractor and it was slowly getting better, but it wasn't in my time frame. I was like, this needs to be fixed now. And so I had to travel back to Texas for, it was our turn to go to Texas for Christmas. And I knew I was going to be ice bathing. So I was, this is going to be great. And it was the day before we were leaving and I went to my chiropractor and I've known him longer than my husband. I've known him for such a long time. He's a very dear friend. And he said, I've never seen you like this. Who are you? He goes, you came in and I could see the dark cloud literally following you. He goes, you've got to stop. He goes, this is not you and you're making it worse. I know. He goes, I don't mean to be, you know, blunt, but you are. And it really kind of showcased like, oh my gosh, you're right. Like my mental state has everything to do with what's going on in my body. I've got to stop. And so I really did try to turn my mental state. I started doing ice bathing and we did it again in Texas. And I said, I need this to be a part of my life now. And I'm going to create what they were doing in Texas at home. And so we started doing ice bathing just with old fashioned ice and water in these huge stock tanks that I got at the home improvement store. And it became a thing where I really enjoyed what I knew I was, you know, sort of doing in Texas and what my family was doing for a long time. We started doing here and I'm obsessed. It's really unbelievable. It's hard. And I'm not going to lie to you. I compare it to childbirth, natural childbirth, which is what I did the first time.
I didn't have the joy.
I will say this. I will say the difference. Okay. It's only 3 minutes where I was 30 hours with my daughter. It's 3 minutes because that's where the benefits start. And it does show you how strong mentally you can be if you can put your mental state in the right place. And the benefits are endless.
You get like a rush afterwards, right? Like for like 24 hours.
The dopamine effect you get, okay. They compare it to people who drink or do drugs or whatever. But the difference is the dopamine effect stays for a couple hours and it doesn't drop like it does with alcohol. It doesn't with drugs. Other things like that, right? Where you only get it for a few minutes and then drops drastically and becomes a depressant, right? Ice bathing gives you the dopamine even higher than those artificial ways. And it stays for a couple hours. So you feel like you could literally climb Mount Everest.
That's what fascinates me about it.
It's fascinating.
It's the right mental state that you just pretend like you're not in the ice bath? Like what? I don't know how to do that.
Yes. I mean, it's kind of like childbirth. You know, you're going to get something great out of it, right? And you have to focus on the what's going to happen for you afterwards. The benefits of anti-inflammatory, the mental part, focus you can have. I've had weight loss because of it. My cellulite's gotten better. I'm not kidding you guys. It's like been truly life-changing.
I've heard so many of the benefits of it, but I'm just so scared. I used to be a high school swimmer and like getting into a cold pool, I know you get used to it.
So you've got like old residual, like I felt the same way. I grew up by the beach and my brothers used to always surf and I'm like, oh God, the ocean is so cold. But you have to mentally prepare yourself, know that it's only a few minutes and really dive through. The first minute is, I will tell you, the hardest.
Yeah.
But once you get past that first like 45 seconds to a minute, you kind of do get to a numbing sort of factor. And if you're doing old school icing and water, I find it to be slightly easier than, say, like the actual like plunges that a lot of companies are doing. And I was very beneficial. The company Plunge actually sent me one. So I actually can do it all the time now, which I am.
I see those and I'm like, ooh.
And I'm obsessed with it. I know it's not cheap and I was very lucky to be given one. And so I'm saying that, but it is life changing. I don't have to go schlep freaking, you know, 200 pounds of ice back to my, you know, to my house and fill it and do all that. And then it melts and it doesn't last. And it's hard, but I think for people who are just trying, filling your bathtub up is a great way to start. Truly.
I don't know where to get the ice. Just go to the grocery store and buy the bags of ice.
Yeah.
Use that ice.
Yeah, totally. Yes, I was like, absolutely.
The ice my fridge produces probably wouldn't make it.
Does it make it back to your place?
Yeah, I mean,
heat?
It does.
It doesn't get melted?
It does if you know you're going and you come straight back and you throw it right into your bathtub. And I would recommend putting the ice in first, then filling it up, because it actually cools the water better. And depending on how big your tub is, you know, depending on how much ice you want to do. But if you're starting out, don't go crazy. Do a little bit at a time. That's how I've told people, you know, and like I said, we've had a lot of new people come and do it with us on Sundays, and it's been really fun. And I've been able to help them coach through it, because breathing, just like childbirth, has a lot to do with it. You know, Wim Hof is a really big guy on social media that you can watch him and kind of get sort of, you know, a good basis of how you should be breathing, which is super, super helpful.
You need an ice bath coach, exactly, like a labor coach.
You kind of do. I'm not joking you. I'm telling you, I compare it to childbirth for a reason. There are a lot of similarities. It's just shorter, which is a good thing. But the effects are great, where after childbirth, yes, you get the dopamine effect of having a beautiful baby next to you, right?
Yeah.
But you also have hormones that go walk. Exactly.
Yes.
You don't have that. You don't have that with ice bathing.
Oh,
you
my
really
God.
Don't.
Oh,
I think I'm going to try it. And I'm going to try one bag of ice first. And so
okay,
I like
try
your
one
idea.
Bag. There
I'll
you
try
go.
One bag.
Perfect. As always, yeah. I will let you do the hard work, and then you come back to me with the clip notes, and I will try to move my cheese it up to jump in. I don't know. We'll see.
Hi there, I'm Andrea Owen, self-help author with 19 translations of my books, global keynote speaker, and life coach. My podcast, Make Some Noise, has been serving up self-help in a simple-to-digest way for the last decade. The topics brought in each episode are practical and easy to implement around topics such as working through fears that keep you stuck, different modalities of therapy, managing your negative self-talk, and more. We bring you guest experts, solo episodes, and I even coach listeners on the air around relatable struggles. I also do my best to weave my sense of humor into some heavy topics because, let's face it, life can be pretty hard, and it's so much better when we can have some fun while walking through our challenges. Whether you're seasoned in personal development or just starting out, Make Some Noise podcast will help you become the best version of yourself, the person you're proud of when you look in the mirror and show up in your life. Simply search Make Some Noise with Andrea Owen wherever you listen to your podcasts.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
But I love, Tiffany, how you've made it a ritual, like a community bonding event in ice bathing.
And it's been really fun because the kids come over, like, you know, we have some kids that are doing it too. And there's been great study with kids for focus, you know, who like either suffer from ADD or ADHD. I have a lot of friends who suffer from anxiety who are doing it. They've noticed massive differences in their anxiety levels. But we do. We make it a huge sort of community of people, friends, neighbors, school parents. And they bring their kids, and the kids are all outside playing. So they're outside having fun, connecting in their own way. And us parents are doing something good for our mental state and our bodies.
So
you know?
Is it like,
great.
I'm trying to picture this. So does everyone use the same ice bath and you guys just take turns in it? You're kind of like cheering each other on? And yeah,
we do. We now have two because we've gotten so many people, which has actually also been really fun because especially for new people who have never done it, they'll go with somebody who's, you know, a little more set and know how to do it. And so I'll go with a new person and I'll hold their hand and I'll walk them through it, you know?
Okay. Anybody that's listening to this or Tiffany, there you go. That's your new side gig. Like as if you have the time. But yeah, that's what you need.
Well, it's so funny.
It's been really fun.
It's so funny because in our coaching community balance, we encouraged our moms in there to do like a community bonding event, like inviting people over. And I'm like, it could be an ice bath.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you, if you do it, I will offer my services. Not that I'm like, you know, but I'm telling you, I've been doing it for a while. I would totally come and help you set it up.
I would do it for that reason alone, Tiffany. I might hold you to that.
Maybe. I would. Oh, God. I can't even.
I would do it. I would do anything once. I would do it. I would do it. Maybe not.
I think that's a great attitude. Truly. I think it's a great attitude. I really do. Trying something once. And it's something to be said, too, where, you know, I love showing my kids that I'm doing something good for myself that might be hard, but it's good
for you.
And
that's a fantastic
thing. It's kind of like broccoli, right? With my little one. I'm like, broccoli is good for you, dude. Just chug it down. Be done. You know, not... Don't overthink it, right?
Yeah, I just had that conversation with my daughter recently about broccoli. Literally that exact same conversation.
Or just eat something. Well, going back to the leftovers topic, because like, again, like usually our leftovers are the healthy meals where the leftovers will be in the refrigerator and my kids will be like, oh, there's a freschetta pizza that we can make instead. Or let's pull out a Lunchable. And I'm like, oh my gosh, guys, like how did you get your husband? Well, I mean, it was your husband. How did you get him
It's really
over
my
the
husband because most of the time I can easily revamp something that my kids have no idea. And I give credit also to my mother. I grew up in a family that didn't have a lot of money. My mom was always stretching food from Monday's roasted chicken to something else on Wednesday. You know what I mean? It was an enchiladas the next day. So it was always that sort of idea that I grew up with that I knew my mom was always doing just to stretch the food and stretch the money throughout the week. My dad a lot of times was working two jobs just to allow my mom to be home and really be able to be there for us. And so, you know, I had two brothers. So I grew up sort of with that mentality. And as I've gotten older and had my own family, it was more about, you know, food waste, you know, climate change, wanting to teach my kids not to waste. And also just being creative, like it's being creative in another way. Like I love to cook and I love to do recipes, but really going in my pantry and going, okay, I'm almost done with that. What can I do with that? It could be really fun. And really thinking outside the box a little bit.
And we read also that you don't like to meal plan.
I do. I don't meal prep.
Meal prep. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I meal plan because I am a total writer and I'm a list maker. I'm very type A when it comes with that stuff, but I'm not a meal prepper, if that makes sense.
Because that spends all day. Yeah. You waste.
It's all freaking day. Or it's like my Sunday to try to prep for the rest of the week. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. It's just too hard. But I am a meal planner. I definitely am a meal planner. I try to plan out what I'm going to buy at the grocery store if I need anything or what's in my fridge that I can redo. And I kind of plan out the meals for the week. But I'm not prepping it. I'm just knowing what I'm going to do that day.
So are you thinking like when you are planning for meals that you're always thinking what ingredient you might make extra of that will take you into the week? Or is it more of a just seeing what you have extra of and being creative from there?
It's different every time. Like, you know, if I'm going to make a big vat of chili, I know I can do something else with it. I could freeze it. I mean, chili is also really easy to freeze. So it just depends on the food and sort of what my kids are wanting. You know, I really try to get feedback from them too. Like, what are you wanting this week? Let's talk about it. We want to have taco night on Tuesday, you know, stuff like that. And then I sort of figure out like, oh, you know, it'd be really good to take that taco meat and make it into the chili that I want to make on Friday. Just stuff
are your
like
kids
that.
Learning some of these skills too on how to like repurpose and
they better hammer it in. No. No, they do. They do. It's funny. My kids were bigger in the kitchen when they were little. Then they went through phases where it's all about sports right now and homework and summer plans and wanting. And now my daughter's like too busy. She's either book club or she's got volleyball or she wants to hang out with her friends and she doesn't want to hang out with me as much in the kitchen. But I do try to get her at least once a week to come in and cook with me as part of like
I love
her.
That.
I don't want to say chores, but you know, like,
just to
you know, I want
going.
You to try to do one because eventually I'm going to make her cook at least one or two a week. Like, this is going to be part of your thing where you're going to take over and you're going to do taco night. Sorry,
and
I'm going to
I'm
gonna
say
down.
That her future roommates will appreciate that because I went away to college and didn't
Agree.
Even know how to open a can. Like, it was awful. My roommate
Thank
had to
you.
Teach me so much.
Yes. And I feel like there's a lot of kids because we're so busy and we're living in a time where I feel like the scheduling is like even more so than I was when I was crazy. A kid. I think it's super, super important. You know, it really is.
It totally is. Yeah. With my kids, our new thing is meat and defrosting meat because
that's a hard one.
They have an aversion to anything raw. Like there's a lot we're working through over here. But
but you're working through it. You're working through it, man.
We're working through it.
This is what my mom used to tell me all the time. This too shall pass, right? This phase will not last forever. And it's so true. It's like when they were babies, it was like trying to get them to sleep or eat or whatever. It doesn't last. They're not going to be graduating high school in diapers, right? This is what like literally my mom would say. I'm like, you're right, mom, I know.
Pro tip for you, if you haven't tried it, Joanne, we bought Costco-sized box of disposable gloves to get my daughter to start touching raw meat. It was a start.
That's a start. And a direction. That's a good start.
That is a start. And is it because of germs or is it because she was like this?
It's a texture.
My daughter is the complete opposite, and trying to get her to stop playing with slime still is like driving me crazy.
My daughter
between that and Orbeez, I'm like, if I find any more Orbeez under my couch, I'm gonna die.
Orbeez are the devil's toy. They ruined our seat. But it's so funny, when my daughter was 9, she had a little farm, a secret farm of Orbeez growing underneath the bathroom sink, which we didn't know about for months. But she would like open
Did she
up.
Know about it?
She knew about it. She knew about it. She would open the cabinet and feed it.
Did my daughter have a hand in that? I have a feeling that sounds like something my daughter would have egged on.
That is so funny.
They've been friends since kindergarten. So I'm like, somehow that seems like an Audrey-inspired thing.
Well, and then on the slime thing, does she take your expensive shampoo, like your actual good shampoo, to make slime?
Oh, she's not allowed to, but she used to.
Yeah, she used to. Yeah, she used to.
And now she takes her own allowance. If she wants it, she needs to go buy it, go to Michael's, get her stuff if she wants. And then she's not allowed to bring it out of the playroom. So because what happened was it was getting on my couch and getting in places. And I was just like,
no, it's not good. So what do you have coming up that you're excited about?
Well, besides the cookbook, which comes out September 26th, which is super, super exciting. And if you know how books are, and my husband loves to play this joke because he's like, well, I'm on book number 7, you know, and I'm like, okay, just chill.
Chill out there. Yeah.
I used to make a joke about my first book and I was like, it was like talk about childbirth again. I keep bringing it back to that. I was like, it was like childbirth, but with 4 hard corners, you know, like it was really hard. And really difficult. But you're so proud of it because it's like an imprint of your creativity, just kind of like your child, right?
Yeah.
So super proud about that. You know, there's no work in other areas right now because, well, there's a strike. So a book is what it is right now, right? But there's some other things being developed, which is really exciting too. So hopefully I'll get to talk about those soon. But, you know, just trying to raise happy, decent, healthy kids that, you know, are going to make hopefully a very positive impact in our society. And that's right there is probably the biggest
Absolutely
job.
Love yeah. that. Definitely. Well, it has been a complete joy talking with you, Tiffany. It is more than I ever expected it to be. And be careful with that ice bath offer that you gave me because
I'm telling you, if I'm in town or if you guys, I'm telling you, just let me know. I have no problem. I'm a huge fan.
Totally.
So I want everybody to feel what I feel and I've been able to showcase to other people too. So I am all there for you for sure. But if you do it, I want to hear about it.
I will. Oh, I'll tag you. Joanne? I'll completely video document the entire experience.
I got to say, the two of you have me moving. I'm like 60% interested.
You're getting
in doing this now. That's actually a big jump for me, Joanne.
Okay.
I can tell you.
That is a big jump.
It's hard.
It's a big jump.
It's hard to get back.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Tiffany.
I love it.
And we look forward to your cookbook.
Same. Have a good rest of your day.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm still on a high. The rest of my day is just going to look really boring in comparison now that we interviewed Tiffany.
I know. It's part of it is my like 10-year-old self. Like I just remembering seeing her. Like I remember when she was in Teen Magazine and won their model search.
And I
want to say that was, well, yeah, because I would always like go in my sister's rooms and take their stuff. So I think me being like in elementary school, I didn't have Teen Magazine, but my sister did. And yeah. And then just, I wanted to marry Zach Morris growing up. I swear he was my...
Oh, I think everybody
did. He was
did.
My kindred
everybody
soul.
Wanted to marry Zach
and then
Morris.
I married somebody named Zach. Wasn't the same. Wasn't the same. No. No.
No.
It's not
no.
the name that
I
makes
mean,
him.
It's like one of these things that like makes all like podcast dreams come true because I think like this episode, we're 200 episodes in now about, I believe. You know our count better.
Oh, yeah.
This is officially 198, but we have more than that because we don't count our bonus No Guilt Mom Win episodes.
Oh, yeah. We don't count the bonus No Guilt Mom Wins, but we already have like, even though this is episode 198, we already have like 208 in our repertoire, like just waiting to come. So, yeah.
So here we are. We're like 200 episodes in. We're almost 3 years into podcasting, by the way, Brie. This September
crazy
marks our 3-year mark. And this is, Tiffany is our very first guest who I knew as a, kid. And I've like looked up to for such a long time. And like all of our other guests I look up to as well. But I mean, it just shows you like how long it takes trying something and keep showing up until you really get to do like super cool stuff. Not saying this podcast isn't cool. I think you know.
Look at you making this a lesson.
I know. I will make everything. I'm very good at that. My kids are like, Mom,
you are very good at it.
Not everything's a lesson, Mom. I'm like, but it
you
can.
You sneak in the lessons like moms sneak in the veggies.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're good at
no,
that.
No, because I get really discouraged when I see people have success and it looks like it was an overnight thing. And I'm like, oh, like, why doesn't it happen so fast? And it doesn't really, like, you don't hear the backstory. You don't hear how long people have worked on things. You don't hear everything. So I just want to make that very, very apparent. It's been a while.
It's been a while. But you know what? Okay, so we were excited to see Tiffany regardless because of the fact that we were just excited about the podcast to get to talk to her. But I have to say for a moment, I want to throw this in there, like her cookbook. I'm excited about it. And I'm not actually like we talk about it in the podcast. I'm not a real cookbook person. Like I'll get a cookbook and maybe 2 or 3 recipes out of it that I enjoy. I was so excited seeing this because, again, her cookbook focuses on leftovers and how to repurpose them. Joanne, she has stuff I can eat in my whole 30.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. I love it. There's like, I actually, butternut squash quesadillas, I think is making our menu for next week. Like, I've got to do that without the kids first so I can not burn it before they try it.
If you burn it just a little bit, it's garbage, according to my kids. Just garbage.
According to my kids too. It's a joke in the household that like I burn everything. I'm not allowed to cook french fries anymore in our air fryer because I somehow managed to burn them every, and we even bought an air fryer with a window so I could see them and I still burn.
Oh my gosh. So we learned a very important lesson last night. Cam and Eric were baking M&M cookies and Cam usually does a microwave cookie along with baked cookies. Interesting fact. M&M's.
What is a microwave?
You like mix it. It's like making a cookie, but you can make it in the microwave. So it's faster. But M&M's burn in the microwave. All of a sudden,
the candy shell.
Yeah, they like, and they smoke a lot because Cam, they put them in the oven and then Eric was in charge of watching it while Cam just went to use the bathroom. And I'm here laying on the couch with like body aches and I'm feeling sick. And all of a sudden, Eric's like, I smell smoke. And he opens it and he goes in the kitchen. He's like, this like plume of smoke comes out of our microwave and like,
oh, no.
Yeah. And the M&Ms were smoking real a lot. Like I brought them out and I put them on the stove and they were still smoking. I put like the vent on the stove and everything. So yeah, M&Ms in the microwave, not recommended.
Wow. Isn't it great how these things happen like that? That's about the same way I learned that you can't put a Twix bar in the microwave. Yeah. When I was about Eric's age, I really wanted a Twix bar. We had some in the freezer, so I threw one in the microwave. And the important thing to learn from that lesson is that there is aluminum in the wrapper for a Twix bar.
Your daughter learned that lesson about aluminum in the microwave at my house, actually.
Oh, my God. It's a family trait. God help us.
It was at my daughter's birthday thing and they had plates with foil, like foil designs on them. You know how they're shiny and metallic.
Oh.
And so they put that in the microwave and all of a sudden I hear your daughter calling, Joanne! And it's an actual fire in the microwave.
Like we open it up and we're
right?
Yeah. Thank God they called you because when I did it, I was home alone and I had a cup of water just waiting to doss on the microwave. Thank goodness it went out on its own. I probably would not be here talking. But
I did that with a power bar. Yeah. Like when I was a swimmer, I had a power bar in the freezer. And I'm like, oh, I'll just put this in the microwave. And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, it's like fireworks.
Yeah. And we all learn these things in little ways. We're just luckily, some of us are more fortunate before things go all straight to hell.
Yeah.
they
make good stories,
but
for sure.
So with Tiffany's cookbook, I love the fact that she like is fighting food waste. She's helping you come up with innovative ways to use what you already have, which helps you stretch the dollar, obviously, like when you're trying to come up with things, but or when you're trying to come up with a budget within the family, especially groceries, because groceries eat our budget to freaking nowhere's land. Like it's
especially
ridiculous.
With teenagers.
But oh, you would think, yeah. Okay. So that was a question I had. I didn't get to
ask. They refuse to eat some things, but the things they do eat, they eat in large quantities.
That was okay. I was like, so what do you do? Like that has been our problem is that. So you know, my two kids, my daughter, I love her dearly. And she knows this. She hates it when we say it, but I don't know any better way to describe this that everybody will get it. She eats like a bird. She eats like a bird, like barely. She snacks all day long.
It's a snacks,
but it's very little. Yeah. It's lots of little snacks, lots of little eating. So when I make dinner, I never know if she's going to eat a serving. My son, on the other hand, I know for a fact we're getting seconds, maybe thirds. So sometimes I'll make something and I'll be like, okay, so we're going to have enough leftovers that I can make this the next day. But then in comes my oldest and all of a sudden all the leftovers are gone. And I'm left with the healthy sweet potato mashed potatoes on the side, but I have no more rotisserie chicken for the pitas I was going to make the next day.
All the protein goes away. All the protein.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
It's crazy.
Go get Tiffany's cookbook. Just the pictures alone, I salivate over all cookbooks and just look at all the wonderful food pictures. And it is okay if it doesn't look like that when you make it. It's really the taste that counts. That's what I always tell myself. And a lot of pictures and food, it is not even edible. I used to do like food photography for the blog. And so I learned a lot of those tricks and stuff. And in real commercial shoots, they'll replace like whipped cream with lard because it melts too fast under the lights. Whipped cream does. Syrup with like motor oil because you don't get the same gleam on syrup. Although a lot of the food bloggers today don't use those tricks, but usually commercials and ads do. Or they'll spray it with something to make it shinier.
I've seen that, like the spray lacquer type
stuff. Yeah, it's never quite, edible sometimes. So you're seeing like this imperfect, this idea of perfection that doesn't exist. Not saying that Tiffany's cookbook is like that, but I'm just saying that like if you see something, it's unfair to compare. Let's just say it's unfair to compare because you don't know. You have no idea. But yeah,
I get intimidated. But yes, like I can't wait for her book because I was even hoping we'd get an advanced copy and they don't have them yet. I'm like, oh, man. So when it does come out, I am getting a copy of Here We Go Again. And I am definitely going to try this out because I love the idea. My family knows. So you want to make mom mad? Throw out food.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Yeah. And I even sometimes try to hide the expiration dates from my kids because I'm all like, listen, for many years, part of my job was a community resource person. I worked in a food bank. I know those expiration dates are not what they seem.
They're not.
Food can go a lot longer. So,
we have that discussion a lot, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, until next time, remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.